We're going to go into the feedback from the breakout session.
Yes.
And Michael, I guess I would stop at group B, C, and then A.
Sure. So I'm very happy and congratulations to the entire team, because it seems like not only we made a serious contribution there, but we actually were voted first. So thank you very much to you two, and thanks to the wonderful group. I had a great pleasure to chair. So we spoke about the XBRL taxonomy and more broader about the technology, which is the best fit, so to say, for the IFRS scope of information and availability, and making it accessible for technological developments, making it accessible in 2030 and going forward. We structured the discussion in a sort of like design style, design thinking style, which means that we first thought about what the requirements will be regardless of the technology that supports it going forward. So sort of like, what are the requirements which we shall debate going forward? And there were, I think, roughly 5 or 6 of these requirements that we really focused on. The first one was around access to data, that more access to information, more better possibility to search for information, more accessibility to the both statements and to the financial reports and to the corresponding structures. And the data structure was second part of these requirements that we talked about. This is going to definitely facilitate, and this is going to be definitely the most important aspect of 2030. So data access and access in general to IFRS structured data. Then we spoke about whether there are alternatives to XBRL, and there was a relatively common conclusion from the group that no, as of yet, we do not see alternatives to the XBRL taxonomy. So even if we say IFRS taxonomy, it's actually a printout of the presentation link base of the XBRL taxonomy. So as such, it derives a lot from the standard. But we also spoke about the fact that there will be diversity of technologies using IFRS data, and we should be ready for that. So we should facilitate this interoperability in a way. Structured data raised a lot of attention, and a number of times members of the group referred to the need of structuring data, particularly for algorithms such as AI or ML. So we spoke about the fact that there applies the principle of so-called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. So whatever you put into the algorithms, you know, the quality of data that you put into the algorithm will dictate the quality of your results. And therefore, we all believed pretty much unanimously that structured data is absolutely necessary and key for the future around the IFRS information. We talked about very interesting thoughts about there being one standard in the future only, and it reminded me of the Lord of the Rings, the one to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. So I think that this is sort of like, you know, we heard those comments, and maybe we'll see this standard, you know, prevailing altogether around the world. We spoke about future developments of the IFRS taxonomy. So we spoke about, for instance, establishment of the IFRS lab in order to test the more, I wouldn't call them exotic, but more novel approaches the technology could facilitate IFRS information. So that was nicknamed IFRS lab and shared resources. That was around collaboration and the need for collaboration around the IFRS information and building technologies around it. We spoke about also some smaller developments, such as ESMA wider, narrower approach, which facilitates actually which actually works in line with the new technologies such as machine learning or the probabilistic algorithms. It gives more input to these algorithms, therefore the results may be better fit the demand from the users. What else did we speak about? We spoke a lot about an aspect which is outside of technology, but we spoke about the need of cooperation between regulators and coming to an alignment about the use of technology, the architectures they propose, and so forth. That is a little bit outside of our key topic of the group, but we noted that this is an important thing to do. We which I loved, actually. We touched on the aspect of agility and the fact that the IFRS taxonomy is in the group that we are even meeting is largely considered in the context of financial statements and the fact that we are just using a financial report. But then we spoke, there may be different use cases where pieces of information may be applicable for certain apps or for certain particular use cases, and we should also facilitate and build this thinking into our structuring of the IFRS taxonomy going forward. So it doesn't necessarily only need to respond to the presentation of the report need, but also more fragmented information that serves different purposes. And we nicknamed that all as use cases. And lastly, we also talked a lot about assurance and data quality. So the need for the regulators to understand how important it is to actually provide and impose certain quality checks and use of things, technologies such as formulas and others, in order to ensure data quality even broader, in order to ensure assurance, so for instance the auditing aspect of the data, and I think that concluded on our taxonomy needs, so these requirements that sort of say should roll forward to 2030. And when we mapped it to XBRL, it seemed to be a relatively good fit. So we said the standard is evolving. It's also gaining some new components such as OIM, Open Information Model, and the new technological facilitators such as use of blockchain for making the data more accessible. We brought the case of the European Financial Transparency Gateway and others. So I think this was also fairly good outcome of the discussion, that we saw first the needs and then saw that the way that we are heading right now seems to be according to the future needs pretty much. Yes, we need to take into account a couple of things. On the risks, we noted that while for algorithms and for machine learning, more taxonomy means better, and we should expect more detailed taxonomy, more elements to be added going forward. But actually, that is a little bit of a trade-off with how easy it is for the users to find the respective elements. And the more elements, it may be, the more difficult it may be to sort of like navigate and search through the taxonomy. So there were a couple of those risk balancing factors there. I think that will pretty much conclude everything that we really wanted to cover and we covered, unless any of my fantastic group members want to jump in with anything.
I think there was one other aspect we briefly touched on, approach, Michael, is that should we include more in the IFRS taxonomy information that helps good usage of the taxonomy by investors? Maybe, for instance, more relationship. If you look at a particular IFRS taxonomy element, you could say, look, you can find more information about accounting policy here, more information about context here, so to drive good usage. That I think we didn't,
thank
we didn't
you. That's correct.
Too much on it,
I missed on that point. So there were two dimensions in which we considered enriching the taxonomy. One dimension, as Richard mentioned, was more accounting content. So an example was given, IFRS 17 has, I'm talking off the top of my head, but more or less something like, you know, 20 elements currently in the taxonomy, whereas for preparation of consolidated financial statements, the companies which implement IFRS 17, they need to expand it anyway to something which, of my experience, comes to roughly 400, 450 elements. So that shows that there is a possibility to sort of like incorporate some of these elements maybe into the taxonomy, and it probably this process will go forward as the IFRS Foundation team, you know, takes into account this industry practices. We've had that already in the industry common industry elements section. But there was also another dimension which we spoke about. The taxonomy itself may be enriched with attributes that will better work with the novel technologies. So, for instance, it will work with attributes towards probabilistic algorithms or towards the use by AI. And I think that we should consider enriching the sort of, we called it meta model in a way, of the taxonomy. We used a lot of very difficult words. So I think that this is pretty much where we should also think of building this element into our future plan. Okay. Thank you.
Any comments, thoughts, questions for Michael?
So, t- taxonomy. Can you model syntax? What was your definition?
So this is an interesting point. We actually debated a little bit whether there exists something like IFRS taxonomy that is not XBRL. And there were very strong statements said. There was one statement, no, IFRS taxonomy is XBRL taxonomy. Full stop. There was another statement, and I'll not attribute it to anyone, of course, but there's another statement saying, well, you know, there is a possibility to actually build something, aka a logical model of the IFRS information that would be technologically neutral. We gave examples from the banking sector where there is, for instance, a DPM model of Basel Accord information, and there is corresponding XBRL taxonomy. But if you look at the EBA website, there is equally a set of annotated templates, so Excel showing the same model in a slightly different way, or an SQL database showing the same content of information with an SQL syntax. So technically disconnected logical layer from a technological layer. But in the IFRS space, when we spoke about requirements such as data structures, multilingual descriptions, references to the legal standards, expression of the business rules, and so forth, there do not seem to be any competition for XBRL at present. Nothing that would provide similar rich set of descriptions. Despite the fact that we were aware of the fact, and someone mentioned that the standard is, you know, some basic components of the standards are fairly old, but we also noted on one other thing, standards equally evolve. And we saw that with the example brought by John around OIM, the Open Information Model, and others. So I think that we should not so much be bothered by the question whether XBRL taxonomy is or IFRS should be expressed in XBRL taxonomy, but more what does the IFRS taxonomy embrace? What does it actually mean? What metadata it provides, how rich it is, whether the data is accessible, and so forth. So there weren't too many worries around the table, if I may say so, or too many doubts about XBRL or alternative formats. I think most members agreed pretty much that the way it's syntactically is the way forward is pretty much right as we are going, but we should think about all these other aspects that I just mentioned.
Thanks, Michael. Do you want to?
Yes. So the question at hand is, what does a success look like, and what needs to occur throughout the global financial reporting system to enable that success? We came up with six areas that we think would create success. And first one is that all the information that's demanded by users would be electronically tagged. Examples of that are currently there's press release and earnings releases that are distributed before the financial statements, and those are not tagged, so that's not success. And there's also non-accounting GAAP information that's not tagged, and if that's demanded and used by users, then it should be tagged. ESMA, when that ESEF requirement comes out, there will be a lot of information that's not tagged because it's just face statements, and we're very aware that other people will tag that information on their own, and that's not success because the tagging will be different among different companies. So how does that occur? And the answer is that regulators need to demand that information be electronically captured. Probably not 1 to 3 years, but we're thinking 3 to 5. Hopefully that can occur. So that was the first one, that all information is electronically captured. Second one is, for success, that all stakeholders would be involved. And you might say all stakeholders are currently involved, but what we meant by that was the filers, that they will actually buy into it more, realizing that they can actually use the data. In other words, preparers can be users, is what was said. The users need to be involved, and what that means is that they need to speak up and demand what they actually want, more so than they have been. They've been saying here and there a little bit. Some are completely under the radar using the information, so speak up and have their voice heard. The regulator needs to be more involved, and primarily there it's enforcement. So what you receive back, let us know what doesn't work for you, what's incorrect. And then fourthly, the auditors need to be involved, and currently they are not. They've taken a stand-back approach, and we think that's wrong. For success to happen, they need to be involved and be part of it. So all four of those parties have extra work to do for full success. A third thing is high-quality data. Right now, data is not where it needs to be. Up front, it was said that if the standard set and the regulator had better defined the information model, that the information coming in would be more high quality. And part of that is the standards be written so they're not so they are technology agnostic. It's a way to think of that, a better information model. Again, high quality data, a way that could occur is if the regulator has a better enforcement mechanism when the information is received. And then a third part of that is just simplicity. What if what if it were simpler for the filers to actually tag the information? So that was the third thing, high quality data. The fourth thing for success is one global taxonomy. That would mean long term that the FASB and the ISB come together on one accounting standard, and we know that's not short term. But another thing was for those IFRS jurisdictions around the world, what if, let's say there were one high-level authoritative body that would say, let's all use the same taxonomy, whether it be IFRS or UK GAAP or, you know, you name it. There should be one. But right now there's no body to sit above that and say, let's do it this way. So, excuse me, success would entail that to occur. Number five is equal access to the data. Example, the SEC currently has data that is free of charge for anyone to use. It's sitting there immediately for use. What if every jurisdiction had that ability? That would be the best. That would be success. One part of that is that we know with the ESEF mandate that there's going to be 28 portals roughly that all have separately captured information. Some of it may not even be publicly available. So that's being addressed, and it's something that everybody's aware of, but currently that is the situation. And then, of course, part of that is low cost, too. For success, the ability to get the information would be low cost to whoever wants it, low cost or no cost. The sixth thing is the timing. Right now, it's quarterly information is put out there. In the U.S. for the ESMA ESEF mandate, it's annually. Why not it be sooner? And very long term, we thought, what if there's a distributed ledger? In other words, your general ledger is put out there for owners, shareholders to see. It gets updated not monthly, but not weekly, not hourly, but instantly. So if there's a point of sale transaction, that ledger, which is in the cloud or wherever, distributed ledger, anybody can access it to write, you know, if I'm a user, I'm going to write code that says I want this and this and this out of it, and based on that and that and that over time, I'm going to invest in whatever company, or I'll know which company is better than the other. So that's a very long-term thing, but the timing of the information right now is quarterly, and is that good enough? Probably not. Success long-term might mean immediate access. So those are the six things. And then the seventh overall thing related to that is, what if there was straight-through processing whereby a filer creates transactions, those get disclosed public or wherever they need to be disclosed, and then an auditor audits it, a consumer takes it and is able to use it without, let's say, with no human interaction. That would be straight-through processing. We're not saying that's complete success, but it's something that kind of takes all six of these success factors and then says let's make it be very efficient as far as the timing of those transactions. What else in the group did I miss, or do you want to add, embellish? Got to be something.
You happy with that?
Yeah. Sure. Who disagrees? got something else.
Nothing from other groups. No questions for us.
Okay, so the second question, and the one that was in the group that I was assigned to, focused around the question of what unique value does the foundation provide to the maintenance and development of the taxonomy. When we got started with it, we wanted to understand the, I guess, the structure of the foundation, where the accounting standard was, where the technology or technical work was done, and how it all sort of flowed together. At least that's what we wanted to get started. What we came up with was that there were probably three distinct groupings, one that was very close to the standard, another that kind of accounting standard, another that sort of linked the accounting standard towards the taxonomy, and then another one that linked the taxonomy towards the technology. So it's kind of like three distinct groupings. And then another area, having understood that, another area we need to get into, or did we discuss, was around the taxonomy itself, what was meant by the taxonomy. That was why that question to you, Mike, what was meant by the taxonomy. And initially it was kind of, you know, everything from information model all the way down to the syntax, and maybe eventually grew to some understanding that the syntax was different from the information model. And then we sort of started to progress onwards in terms of what potential unique value would the foundation have in that area. There was some belief that the syntax component, the very last component, could be outsourced or not part of the foundation. But I think the general consensus in the group was that the process from accounting standards development through to a completed taxonomy was a very tightly integrated process with feedback loops, was one piece of it. There was also belief that the perspective that the accounting standards has on the entire process was very was unique, and that being it, separating out the technology component from that there made weak in the process. So I guess this where we ended up with it at the end of the day, that yes, it's possible to potentially disconnect just the syntax component away from it. We didn't think it was a wise thing to do because of this embedded process all the way through and the value from one end and back to the other. The sort of feedback loop. And we also didn't see that changing across time. So we looked at the 1, 3, 5 years. We couldn't see where that would change across time because of the nature of the accounting standards process. It was kind of the summary I've got out of it. I don't know if I've misrepresented our information or what came out of the group or missed anything, but you've got the notes and add if you want, or any other comments? Rachel, is that Mick?
No, I think that was a good summary. I think one thing that I might add to that was that because part of the question was, you know, what unique thing did the foundation bring to it? And I think what was coming out of that quite strongly was obviously that we have the most knowledge of the underlying standards themselves, and that actually the taxonomy should be seen as an extension of the underlying standards, and that trying to sort of separate those two didn't make a lot of sense. And so that we had a unique role in terms of the development of the taxonomy because of that knowledge.
Yeah, and we also looked at it the other way around as well, which was what value would you get from separating it as well.
Yes.
So you have the unique knowledge, and then there was no real value from the other side. Hence, we decided, you know, we sort of concluded it was better to keep them tightly close together.
Our group answered that question, and one thing we added, you said feedback loops. We said, and there's a benefit by doing the taxonomy, you actually see things that you can tell the standard setter, hey, there's something that doesn't make sense, but it could be written differently.
Yeah.
And I think that did come out a little bit in our group as well. You just reminded me that there was a discussion around the fact that the board has ownership over the content that comes directly from the standards. What the board doesn't oversee in the same way or doesn't approve in the same way is the common practice elements. But there was a feeling that actually, from some members in the group, that the board should get more involved in the common practice, because that would actually provide a useful feedback loop into the standards themselves. If you're seeing lots of common practice in an area, perhaps that's something we ought to be writing standards on, for example.
Mm-hmm. Operating profit.
About this afternoon.
Any others in our group or any other thoughts, comments on that topic? No? How do we handle question one, since everyone...
Well, I thought that maybe you started that. The order, because you had seen me, that Michael had picked that up in his group B with the poster board and covered that really in his...
Michael's done question one, so you need
to do question one himself. So you're moving on to... Michael, did you cover both in yours, or just you covered question one?
I think we largely covered it in the responses I gave before. I think in terms of the alternatives, we spoke that at present we do not see too many alternatives, so that basically concludes on that. We had a couple of those recommendations for the foundation and for the board, which of course means more work. So I don't know if we should put them, because I still want to be liked by the team. But essentially, yes, there are a couple of those comments about enriching and values, but I think we'll basically leave them after, because I don't think they are necessary to be repeated. In terms of electronic reporting, we also spent a bit of time, and I saw that John's group did the same on debating whether there is this, you know, sort of like abstract layer of IFRS information and how to express that. I think there was also a comment on these Excels earlier this morning. There's taxonomy available in the form of Excel. What I just wanted maybe to reiterate, not about our discussions from the group, but just sort of like there are examples and experiences of the regulators particularly, which are sort of like similar class to the standard setter, where they provide these abstract models on their websites. I think it might be maybe worth looking at how these are being facilitated by the other regulators, by IOPA, EBA are just examples of that. ESMA also did pretty much the same when they chose the standard like ISO 20022. In the piece of regulation that they publish, and Anna, maybe you can jump in later, is actually a list of elements. So they provide descriptions of these requirements, information requirements, technologically neutral, but it's still facilitated by the standard called ISO 20022. And there are messages which are being built around these data information requirements, which are basically reflected in those technological syntaxes. So I think our key point from our group was we don't need to worry so much on the technological fronts, because there are, for instance, platforms which facilitate this kind of interoperability to the various reconciling with that various technologies. But we more should worry about the, so to say, content, the meta model attributes, and these enriching factors of the taxonomy. I think that would be pretty much the conclusion.
Does that mean a different taxonomy, Michael? Because we hear about the open information model, we hear about this abstract model. Like, how is, suppose we were to do that tomorrow, how easy is that to do? How different would that be look from what we currently have in the XBRL taxonomy? Would it look very similar? Would it look very different? Or is it just content transposed to a different platform?
So let's think of it as, for instance, how publication changed, right? We had books. And initially, we've got the manuscripts on, you know, written on a particular piece of leather or something like that. Then we went to paper. Then we went to other formats. Now we are facilitating this, even audiobooks or other formats. So I think that technologically, we will facilitate access to information via different interfaces. We spoke in our group about these examples of voice-commanded access to information. So this example that a very nice company from Mexico did, where they commanded Alexa to basically return to them information and read it out. So technologically, that was obviously a different format, but it was facilitated by the standard, which was underlying, and that was an XBRL data from the Mexican Stock Exchange. So I think that we, on the technological front, the interoperability is provided more by technological solutions that, if the model is designed correctly, they basically output different formats. It is relatively easy. I will just give an example of an authority which was just almost neighboring to you right now, is now in Paris, the EBA. They actually facilitated their content of their taxonomy via several different technological means. The way they did it was not by maintaining manually all these three different, for instance, formats they gave, but more like Owen Jones, who was on the side of the EBA, developed a platform, you could call it this way, to facilitate outputs to different formats so that they could serve different communities and different needs. There were annotated templates for those who wanted to look at Excels. There was an XBRL taxonomy for those who needed to collect the data and verify, particularly the national competent authorities. And there was an SQL database for vendors. And most vendors, for instance, ignored the XBRL format, but looked at the SQL database and implemented it in their tools. So that was sort of like this interoperability in making and access to the IFRS set of information or universe of information via different technological means. And an example of OIM is given, is a fairly, you know, valid one and applicable, as the open information model is essentially a JSON technical syntax. It's a different syntax, but it reflects everything that is in the right now in the instance document of the XBRL report, and serves it in a different manner, slightly easier for programmers to basically do something with it. So I think that
just to answer that in a slightly different way, conscious that that makes my face come across this large screen. The open information model is an abstraction, so it's trying to be syntax neutral. And to answer your question, Rita, I think that in the future, you'll still need to worry about references. You'll still need to worry about language and translation. You'll still need to worry about the relationships between different concepts, whether you're thinking that about that in terms of mathematical relationships or presentation relationships. It may well be, or it will be, in fact, that they are stored using slightly different technologies, and then in a similar way to the way that Michal describes that, you can access that through the traditional XML framework, through JSON, through CSV, through other formats as we go forward. Now, it would be possible to do that without the standard. You could do that all. You could employ some consultants to recreate all of that if you wanted to. That would be quite expensive.
Okay. Because I'm just in the world of visual thinking. I'm thinking, okay, one of our value adds, like we have said, is our content knowledge, our accounting knowledge. We do not necessarily have that deep technical expertise to put the taxonomy and the content in all these different languages. I wouldn't say that's where the value add of this organization stands for. So ideally, I'm looking for something in 5-10 years to say, okay, we publish this content once to a particular technology. It may be XBRL, maybe open information model, and then really that has a life on its own, then that different technologies would have to interact with that one publication I make, and that's it. So I'm dreaming of this open information model. Okay, that's where I publish the content.
That's
and
exactly
then technologies
what it's supposed to do.
That's what it is supposed to do, John?
Yep.
Okay, great. So that would be done, I think, where we would have to aim for in the... Is that 5 years? How long are we talking here, John? How long?
It's a standard. How long is a piece of string?
Okay, no,
how many volunteers are you going to provide to help out that region?
That's my dream, so... Okay. Just wanted to confirm that my understanding was correct there.
I guess, can we jump back across to your input in
yes
in B?
For this question. Yeah, our card is over by Iza, so I'll delegate my responsibilities to Iza. Truly, leave it over there. She's going to present it.
She will. Well, you had a very
she's got a good understanding of each
very popular one of your your stickers all ended up on the, and it's actually a similar, I think it's a similar
so
one.
You what you're saying is we had the one with the most stickers. Yes, that is what she's saying.
I think on the board we really have like four ideas. We spent quite a lot of time on talking about the success. So one of the things which we just talked about is it's quite important that it is technology agnostic, which you just discussed. We touched upon the AI. That seems to be quite a catchy phrase right now, and there were some questions about whether we need to still have taxonomy in AI, and I think we confirmed that AI still needs some kind of dictionary, which we have in the form of taxonomy. Lou has touched upon the distributed ledger as an idea. We have it here on the board too. And also, one of the things we also touched upon was that taxonomy is actually a good way of representing IFRS standards. IFRS standards are just a written word, and IFRS taxonomy puts some kind of structure, some kind of visualization of some kind of ideas and terms that could be in the financial statement. So that's almost like a value added for external people for us to communicate.
That's it?
Yeah. We were so focusing on the success.
We only had four.
Yeah.
So the one that got the most stickers was
the digital standard.
Technology agnostic.
Yeah. That the standard should be technology agnostic. However that occurs.
Can I reflect on that quickly? Because this is something I've been seeing a bit around the world, and I'm not certain why we are afraid of technology. I mean, technology is there to help us pretty much in this sense. So it's just one or other technology. We are using various communication channels and various technological tools to operate. I think the way of thinking that in 21st century that something is separate from technology in a whole sense of the world, I don't think it's very pragmatic, and I don't think it's very realistic. Everything is intertwined with technology. Even corporate announcements right now, earnings releases on Twitter or wherever. Seriously, right now we've got politics of one large country run by Twitter. So, frankly speaking, it's something that we see as very much intertwined, but we quite often think that we can disconnect from the technology and use different some sort of logic to describe it without the touch of technology. I very much like what you said, that dictionaries are the way forward, and that brought me back to the memories of the financial data standardization project of the European Commission, where they analyzed 23 regulatory frameworks, all the directives and regulations, the level one, level two regulation, and they figured out that because of absence of technology, they had discrepancies in even 11 ways of describing annual frequency of reporting. So that obviously then the consequence was that lawyers needed to step in and interpret whether at the end of a year means annually or yearly or once a year, or is it the same or not. This is obviously a very, very trivial example, but technology which we use over here in the IFRS Foundation, even the simple tool that is used to facilitate translation, the Trados or something, it's basically helpful to avoid these kind of mistakes and reuse examples across. And we do that for standards, because standards need to be extremely consistent. And the European law, because it's written by lawyers from different countries, different agencies, we see those discrepancies. So I think that technology here could extremely help. And I would advise that we just basically embrace it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Michael, are you talking, because I see 2 points, can be the principles or can be the accessibility? Are you talking of both? Are you talking about making standards accessibility, accessible and consistent no matter what? Or are you talking more about the principles, the standards itself?
I'm very pragmatic, so I'm sort of like accessibility. At every stage of from designing the standard to implementing it, technology is present there. We saw a brilliant example years ago when XIFRS emerged. And the reaction to XIFRS was extremely positive, because for the first time it was connecting the written standard with the electronic thing. So we could precisely see under the disclosure, a company shall disclose something, there were elements listed which precisely spoke to the programmers, this is what the rule or sorry, principle is, and this is what stems from this principle in practice. And that was, in my personal opinion, a great example. Unfortunately, it's not a publicly available material. It's paid, but which maybe hinders its adoption or hinders its use. But on the other hand, this is one of the great examples of embracing technology in the process of writing the standard, and a very practical way of showing where taxonomy interacts with the particular clauses from the standard. It's just an example, and I haven't developed that, so it's credit to the team and kudos for doing that. I think it's just a good example, and maybe we could see some others in this space.
Sorry, Chi?
Yeah, I think Michael's suggestion is good, but I think today's discussion's issue was what was the role of, what is the role of the foundations? And also, as Michael said, maybe you can use new technology, but maybe the issue was capacity. Issue is capacity. Maybe foundation has limited capacity and what they should do. I thought that today's discussion was such kind of topic. So maybe I don't think that the foundation afraid about technology, but maybe they wanted to know, wanted to seek that which part that the foundation has to do, if my understanding is correct. And also that the foundation has to be prioritized some issues, the discussion about accounting standard levels and also that the choosing the technologies. Even though I agree with Mikhail, maybe that somehow they don't need to be afraid about technology, but the technology is not the foundation should choose. If we choose technology and ask to the foundation in the future, we would like to use this technology, please consider about the adapt to the taxonomy of this technology. Yeah. I thought.
Thanks. I don't think I heard anywhere that there was a fear of technology. I think there was more of a less of the dependence on technology, any particular technology. I think I heard technology agnostic, technology completely gone. So we didn't hear fear of it. And for me, it was more akin to if I'm writing a bit of code, I will put a parameter in so I can change rather than hard code a value in. Mm. I think that's more the what they're talking about is, I don't want to hard code myself to a particular technology. I want to create some sort of parameter system where I can change without having to change all of my code.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to say something similar without wanting to go into theology, but we mentioned technology agnosticism, not atheism. We're not against technology, but we're saying the role of the foundation should be to define the relationship between elements, that what technology enables that relationship is not so much that. The risk in embracing XBRL and saying that's the technology that will be used forever is that there will be new technologies which are more adapt to express that relationship in the future. And I think the foundation needs to be aware that change might be in the air. But it is also an outcome of the discussions we've had, is that there is risk in changing. I mean, as a regulator, you understand that this has taken a long time for the regulators to get on board with XBRL. So also that pace of change needs to take into account the cost for issuers to adapt, the cost for regulators to embrace that change. But agnosticism doesn't mean being against technology, just saying the standard should define the relationship between elements, and technology should be the enabler to describe that relationship between the different elements, not without being blind to what else happens in the outer world.
So I fully concur. The only maybe difference is that I perceive the XBRL as not a technology, but a standard. The same way as 2022 is a standard, it will work with different technologies. So within the framework of XBRL, for instance, the consortium, the members of the standard setting groups, will consider variety of technologies to work with, depending on the particular point of time. But the standard as a whole will serve this interface for the regulators. So in other words, from experience with working with regulators, they don't need to buy into a specific technology, but I would recommend that they consider a standard, and that's slight difference. The standard is just a framework of things being put together. XBRL provides this framework of structured data, multilingual labels, references to legal acts, business rules expressed, and so on. In what technological particular syntax it is provided will differ, you know, along years, and the groups will evolve it. We see OIM right now. Maybe in 10 years it will be a completely different way of expressing the syntax. So just sort of like to make this note on the fact that the standards are in place for specifically this reason to become a little bit of an insulation from technological changes as well and cater for multiple of these requirements and serve it as a sort of like a several options to choose from and being still interoperable. So that's how I perceive it.
Thanks. It's a good point, actually. Mm-hmm. Thanks. So from our...
John.
Sorry, go ahead, John.
Sorry, could I just concur with Michal, think about XBRL as a standard, which is not to say that if something else better comes along one day, it shouldn't be straightforward to switch. We certainly don't perceive that there's something better to switch with today. If there is, someone please let me know, because, you know, we're putting in the air miles here, we just don't need to do. But for the moment, it would be best to think about this as a increasingly flexible, from a technology perspective, standard that can be utilized.
Okay, thanks, John. I'm going to go into the, I guess, what we covered in Group A on question one. I'll do my best to try and summarize it. What I guess the synopsis of our discussion was we looked at it, the process from the accounting standards through to technology as a, from end to end in our discussion. And there was also a bit of, and it was a free-flowing discussion, so we didn't structure it. And as we went through it, there was a bit of a not just sort of horizontal end-to-end sort of thinking. There was also some more deeper thinking as we got into discussions around how or the extent of financial statements going forward, how deep they will go in terms of the granularity of the data that could support them. So that was kind of the big synopsis, sort of an end-to-end, and then, you know, there was discussions around that. We had four or five different, I guess, points that were made as we went along. One sort of centered around centered around the accounting standards, the development of the accounting standards, the ability to electronically consume those standards. Using some sort of machine learning to also dynamically build semantic models. So if we were able to get to the point where we had electronically consumable standards, we will also be able to get to the point where we had dynamically created semantic models, and therefore we had an end-to-end process that started with the standards creation at the accounting standpoint, and then the rest just sort of flowing through. It was kind of the thinking that came out of there, that in terms of where we could get to. And in our view, we may be 5 to 10 years out from being able to do that type of activity. And as we got into that conversation, one of the questions came about was how, if we're going to look at that, then it begs the question of how we develop in the standards in the first place. And I can't recall where we ended up in it in terms of did we decide on how they were being developed today, but I think we did decide at the end of it that whatever we're doing today would need to change in order to support that sort of long run of electronically consumable accounting standards that flow automatically through to
through the electronic taxonomy at the other side and dynamically creates a semantic model in the middle. So those, and you know, the, whatever we do in the way that we create our accounting standards, if we're going to have them electronically consumable, we felt that you know we could be and possibly should be able to achieve that within the 1 to 5 year window. So it wasn't a long term piece; it was kind of a near term piece, which to me suggested that that will be our focus. You know, we will focus on getting to a point where the accounting standards themselves were electronically consumable. And then once we're at that point there, we'll be in a position to then use all the technologies to dynamically create and manage semantic models. And therefore, we significantly improve the process all the way through. So those are two pieces that spun from it. As we started to go through those, that was our sort of end-to-end thinking, we started also to drop deeper in what can we do with, or what are we seeing with the collection, granular collection of data. And we were seeing that in certain instances we're collecting more and more data that goes deeper and deeper into specific aspects of the financial statement. And there was a belief that we would see that growing over time. If we didn't see it displacing the financial statements, we saw it enhancing the financial statements, and we saw in that area there where we see enhancing, there was a discussion around how the financials will be used going forward. You know, obviously, when I say being used, there was a discussion around the narrative taking more of the focus of the financials as we started to go deeper in terms of the granular data being electronically consumable. I think the focus would then shift more to the narrative of the financials in terms of what's really meant by them, was kind of some of the discussion that we had in this sort of area. Another one that I'm going to need help with is the automated auditing. Was another squeeze. So we were talking end to end, sort of accounting standards all the way up through to the end. There was a discussion in and around automated auditing, and I guess I'm going to need your help with that, Chair.
Oh yeah,
or anyone within our group.
So that, I told the part, but what I wanted to say that in the future, some technology or audit, and also the usage of the financial statement might be, you know, the feedback to the accounting standard itself. So future accounting standard will change or somehow to meet for a new future usage, you know, future audit. I was talking about like. So at that time, the financial statement itself must be more detailed because artificial intelligence can't understand like humans do. Like that. And also that I mentioned that the... something more.
Thanks, Jean. There was another point on here that... continuation taxonomy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You have to help me there.
Yeah, but if you can summarize.
We have a few minutes, so.
Yeah, and so I'll bring that audit piece in to summarize. I think just to summarize in general, of great feedback from everyone on all the questions. Much of it confirming some of the thoughts that we had, and others giving us some new thoughts and new ideas on where we should be looking and thinking about, bringing back, you know, that technical combination of the technical accounting, technical versus technology emphasis that we bring to the taxonomy itself, our global connections and our process and the feedback loop that links the standard setting and the taxonomy itself. And that... it's good to hear this, the accessibility and the high-quality data, and that's the piece with this audit. When I started to hear, we heard about it last week at the conference, the audit and this possibility of in the future being able to audit both elements we now put audited financial statements out there, but what happens to the taxonomy itself and how it's applied and how does that get audited? And I think, T, you were also talking about the ability to the relationships of numbers within the statements, and would the machine learning and the artificial intelligence start to come to play in that, so it pops up a bit of the validations that are already occurring. So it sounds like from all your feedback that structured data continues to be important today and going into the future. That's not something that's going away. It's only going to strengthen in process. And Lou, in yours, that, you know, what success that the preparers need to stay engaged and be part of this, the regulators really have to as well, and the investors, that for us to see success in electronic reporting, that all of the ecosystem has to come to the table and be part of it. So I think for our purposes, we got some great feedback, as I say, and you know, we look forward to that feeding into helping us make our thought process as we build our strategy. And so we really appreciate your time and efforts today. And any other thoughts that you come up with, you know how to get them to us. So much appreciated.
Thanks, Karen. Any
other questions?
No questions, no thoughts on this topic? Will we move on to... Anne's going to help us with the next topic.